Well, thank you for your welcome. It's a very great privilege and joy to be with you this morning. Brings back many happy memories of the past, but it's good to see how things are going well here at Blenheim. Now, what do you think about that story that we read about the wise men? Some people think it's just a nice, sentimental fairy story which we tell children at Christmas, a bit like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, but a bit more religious. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is a delightful story, but it's not a fairy story. These things really did happen. A special baby was born. Wise men, magi, from the east did travel to Bethlehem to worship him. Herod did try to kill him. The baby was wonderfully spared. It is a true story. But in addition, it's got a vital message for us today. The message is this. The story tells us of the two different attitudes that people take to the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment he was born, people took up different attitudes to him. Some, like Herod, had no time for him and wanted to get rid of him. Others, like the wise men, worshipped him. Two entirely different attitudes. And people today, all these years later, are just the same. Times have changed. Here in the UK, we travel by cars rather than on camels, but we still have one or the other of these two attitudes towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We're either like Herod, or we're like the wise men. So this old story is so relevant and so up to date. Take Herod first. When these wise men came from the east to look for Jesus, they felt sure that he would have been born in a palace in Jerusalem. After all, Jerusalem was the capital of that country, so the baby was bound to be born in the palace in Jerusalem. So they made their way there and met with Herod and told him about the Christ. What was Herod's attitude? Well, he was the king of Judea in the Middle East. At that time, virtually the whole of the known world was ruled by the Roman Empire. But Herod had managed to get on well with the Roman Emperor, and as a favor, he'd been made king of Judea. What was his attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ? As I said, he had no time for him at all. The wise men came and told him of the star which heralded the birth of the Son of God. But the moment he heard about it, he was annoyed. And immediately Herod worked out a plan to kill him. He had no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not? Well, because he was only concerned for himself. He had a good position as the king. He lived in a refined palace, surrounded by wonderful possessions, enjoying endless pleasures, and that was all he was concerned about, himself and his pleasure. He had no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he regarded Christ as a threat. He felt that this person who'd been born might interfere in some way with his life, and so he wanted to get rid of him. And you know, that is the attitude of many, many people in Great Britain today. No time or place for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're only concerned about their own pleasures, their own possessions. And if you speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, some of them get very, very angry and very, very annoyed, show great resentment toward him, as did Herod long ago. I wonder whether there's anybody here like that this morning. We're delighted to see you. Delighted. But if you're honest, you would have to admit that you have little or no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. You spurn him. You don't want to be bothered about him. In fact, when friends speak to you about him and your need of him, you get a little bit annoyed. And if some preacher insists that you need Christ to save you from your sin, you get very, very angry. You don't want to know. Now, Herod was just like that. Had no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's be clear, we can be like that beneath a veneer of religion. That's how Herod was. In reality, Herod had no time for Christ. But he tried to hide that by making out that he was religious. Listen to what Herod says. He says to the wise men, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." He tried to give the impression that he was an ardent worshipper of this new baby who was born. He was hiding his hatred of the new baby beneath a veneer of religion. And there are people like that today. They put on a front of being religious, but behind the scenes, really, they have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you think it doesn't really matter. You say, if I choose not to bother about Christ, well, that's my choice, and that's it. No business of yours. Well, it is your choice, but let me show you that to reject Christ is the most tragic thing that Herod ever did. The most tragic thing that anybody else could ever do. Why? Well, first of all, because of who Christ is. He was and is a very special person. That's surely obvious from the story. It tells us that his birth was predicted by a prophet called Micah, who lived many, many years before, 700 years before. Nobody prophesied your birth, did they? 700 years before you were born. Take some famous men in the world, Winston Churchill, Nelson Mandela, great men, but no one predicted their births 700 or 800 years before they were born. But the birth of this child was predicted all those years before he was born. In addition to that, men travelled hundreds of miles to see him. He was no ordinary child, is he? He came from heaven. Long before he was born into this world, he had lived with God in heaven. In fact, he'd shared with God in creating the universe. If you read the first book of the Bible, the story of creation, you'll read that God said, "Let us make man in our own image." Let us. To whom is God speaking? He's speaking to his son, Christ, who's there in heaven with him at the beginning. That is the baby who came to Bethlehem. A special person, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have no time for Christ and try to poke fun at him, maybe occasionally use his name as a curse, then you need to know you are despising the greatest person in the universe, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who from all eternity had been there with God in heaven. That's sad, isn't it? Another reason why it's sad to reject Christ, that's because we all desperately need him and the help he gives. Herod desperately needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and so do we. For instance, we all need the forgiveness that only Christ can give. We've all done wrong. We've all broken God's laws. That was certainly true of Herod. He was an old rogue in public. He gave the appearance of being very religious. He rebuilt and enlarged the temple in Jerusalem. And during a famine in Judea, he gave generous help to those who needed. He tried to give the impression that he was very religious and very good. But behind the scenes, his private life was a total mess. He'd had no fewer than 10 wives, one of whom he murdered. He was totally selfish, insanely jealous, awfully immoral. The Roman Emperor Augustus once said of him, It is safer to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's son. And verse 16 of this chapter tells us how he murdered all the boys of Bethlehem under the age of 2. If ever there was a guilty sinner, Herod certainly was. He desperately needed forgiveness. He desperately needed pardon. And so do we. We may not have done the blatant sinful things that Herod did, but all of us have rebelled against God. All of us have sinned against God. We all need to be forgiven. Every one of us, without exception. There's no hope of going to heaven when we die until we're forgiven. And the only person who can forgive us is the Lord Jesus Christ, this baby who was born. He came into this world in order to die, in order that we might be forgiven and be saved. Men and women desperately need forgiveness. And Jesus Christ is the only person who can forgive them. Until we're forgiven, we have no hope of heaven, entering heaven when we die. Not only that, we also desperately need the freedom that Christ alone can give us. Poor old Herod, he was the king of Judea, but he was a slave of his own sin. And we see the same thing today, don't we? We may read in the newspaper about some famous footballer. On the football pitch, he's an expert in control. He can control the ball perfectly, wonderful. But his own personal life is a total mess. Often find that. No self-control at all. He's a slave of sin. And all of us, can you remember all those resolutions you used to make at the new year? I remember before I became a Christian. Each year I resolved, I'm going to smoke less, I'm going to drink less, I'm going to swear less. And I could never keep those. I was a slave of sin, you see. I was in the grip of sin. I couldn't do it in my own strength. And we're all like that. You ever found yourself sort of gripped by jealousy, or gripped by pride, or greed, or selfishness? We're all in the grip of sin. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can set us free from the slavery of sin. The only one who can forgive us, the only one who can free us. And the only one who can give us hope. We've all got to die one day. Not a cheerful thing to speak about at Christmas time, is it? But it's the one great reality. If you and I can be certain of one thing, is that we've got to die one day. And I've come to learn over the years that death is no respecter of age. I once took 2 funerals in 1 week. The first funeral was for a lady of 103 on Monday. On Friday, I took a funeral for a boy of 13. Death is no respecter of age. We've all got to die. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can give us hope in the face of death, the hope of eternal life in heaven. So Herod, that's why you were such a fool to have no time for Christ. Herod, that's why you were such a fool to despise him and try to get rid of him. He's the only one who could forgive you. He's the only one who could free you from your sin. He's the only one who could give you hope. He's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the wrong attitude to Christ. Now let's come to the right one. What is the right attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the wise men had the right attitude. First of all, they recognized the truth about Jesus. The gifts they brought to him show us that they recognized who he really was. You remember what they brought? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. 3 gifts. Gold. Gold was a gift for a king. They recognized that this was no ordinary child who'd been born, but the great king. They actually said to Herod, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" Talking to my son, Tim, on Friday night. He was passing through Reading and he's calling to see us. And he is preaching this afternoon at a carol service on that very text. "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" They recognized, you see, that he was the king of the whole universe. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He made the whole universe. He rules over the whole universe. The moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, rivers, mountains, everything under his control. Men and women, all under his ultimate control. He says the word, and you and I stop breathing. He's the King of Kings. The wise men recognize that. Where is he? We bring gold to him. He is the king. And one day every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? You may have no time for him now. But one day every knee will bow to the Lord. Even Richard Dawkins one day will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. He may do that with great regret, but he'll have to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the king. Then they brought frankincense to him. Frankincense, that was a substance used in the worship of Almighty God. If you read the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 37, you'll find that frankincense was only to be used in the worship of God. That was a strict law in the Old Testament, only to be used in the worship of God. So in bringing this frankincense, these wise men were making it clear that they had come to see that Jesus was divine, that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was equal with God. Indeed, they actually tell us, they actually tell Herod, that they've come all the way from the east to worship him. They said that to Herod. "We have come, we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." So they recognized that he was divine. They recognized that he was the Son of God. And they were right, of course. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Simon Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, said to him one day, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus didn't say, "Oh, no, no, Peter, you got that wrong." Jesus responded to that by saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. This hasn't been revealed to you by some human being. This has been revealed to you by my Father in heaven, that I am the Son of God." That's who Jesus is. The wise men recognize that. Then there was myrrh. Myrrh, of course, was used in the East for embalming dead bodies. What a strange substance to bring to a newborn baby. Myrrh to embalm the dead. But you see, God had obviously revealed to these men that this baby would die. That this baby had been born to die. And that again was right. The Lord Jesus Christ actually came to this world to die. He didn't come just to live a good life, although he did that. He didn't come just to give us good teaching, though he certainly did that. He didn't come just to do miracles, though he did many wonderful miracles. He didn't come just to give us a good example, although he certainly did that. He came mainly to die. He himself said so. The Son of Man, he said on one occasion, has not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came, you see, to die. Why? Well, he came to bear the punishment due to sinners like us before we could be forgiven, before we could be saved and go to heaven, our sin had to be dealt with. The punishment of our sin had to be paid. God is just, you see. God just can't wink at our sin. God can't just smile at our sin. God can't just pretend he hasn't seen it. I do that with my... I think, why should I have the hassle of disowning him, you know? Let his parents do that. So I turn a blind eye to him. You know, he's to pretend I haven't seen it. But God is just. He can't turn a blind eye to our sin. Before he can forgive our sin has to be punished. Even a footballer who fouls on a football pitch has to be punished for the foul that he's committed. How much more our sins against God must be punished. God is just. So the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and died upon the cross to bear the punishment of our sins in our place, so that we might be forgiven. The wise men recognized that. They brought myrrh to embalm the dead. They recognized that Jesus Christ was going to die. And so he did. He died at the age of 33, upon a cross, just outside Jerusalem, to bear the punishment of our sin, so that we might be forgiven and saved from hell and go to heaven when we die. The wise men recognized who Jesus was and is. Do you recognize that, my friend? Have you seen that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings? Have you seen that he is the Son of God? Have you realized that he came to die for sinners like you and me, that we might be saved? But let me add this. They did something else, these wise men. To believe the truth about Jesus is vital. You can't be a Christian without that. But they did more than that. They actually worshipped Jesus. We're told when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down and worshipped him. They didn't just believe in their heads that he was the Lord and King. They didn't just believe in their heads that he was the Son of God. They came and worshipped him. They said, in a sense, from now on, we yield our lives to you. And that is what should be our attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. To give him the first place in our lives. To worship him. To adore him. To trust him. To say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the King of Kings. I believe that you came to this world to die in order to save a sinner like me. I believe all that. And I trust you. And I worship you. And I adore you. And I want to live for you. That may cost you a great deal. You see, these wise men, it cost them something, didn't it, to worship Jesus? They traveled all the way from the east, maybe from a country like Iraq or Iran. That may have been where they started from. Margaret and I, a few years ago, we were in Egypt and we had a ride on a camel one evening for about a couple of hours around a village and looking around. And it's hard work to ride a camel. To ride a camel all the way from Iran to Israel was a great sacrifice to make. But they did that because they realized that Jesus was the most important person in the universe. They came and worshipped. I trust and pray that that will be our attitude to Christ this Christmas time. Don't ignore him. Don't spurn him. Adore him. Worship him. Trust him. Because he is the Son of God. And he's the only one who can forgive your sin and my sin. He's the only one who can give us a place in heaven when we die. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to forgive us for those many times when we've ignored him. Many of us can look back on a past where we derided the Lord Jesus Christ, where we dismissed him. Father, we thank you that you've opened our eyes to see that Jesus Christ is your Son and our one and only Savior. We pray that many others may see that glorious truth this Christmas time. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.